What's up? Vegan savages.
Vegan sausages.
Vegan sandwiches. And welcome to another episode of Brittany Bond, Afro Bear, Ferdy Beck, reporting live from the collective in Koh Phangan. Now, the reality has shifted where I have listened to Brittany Bond's podcast, The Destruction and Rebirth of Ferdy Beck, myself.
Oh, baby. It was so tough to listen to,
but it's great.
Was it really that hard?
Like some parts, the Robin story, I don't want to ever listen again to. It was challenging. I had a massage yesterday, and I was like, oh, I just want to get through this part.
I think it's funny you got a massage while you listened to it, because those seem like opposing forces. Or maybe it was a resource for you in that moment.
What do you mean?
Like when I take a massage, I want to relax, not listen to something.
I love listening to things, but this one, I realized afterwards, I hardly paid attention to the massage because I was so in the Britney world, but I wanted this permission slip of closing my eyes and also being.
So if you guys are trying to figure out what podcast we're talking about, it's going to be titled Why I Almost Broke Up with Ferdy. That's what the title of this podcast.
On Brittany Bond.
Yeah.
This podcast. And I love going to massage places that are dark, aircon, closing my eyes like I'm in another dimension, you know?
Having a cute gay guy give you a massage.
Yes. It's the best. All the perks of being me. You have all the perks. I also have perks.
Gay men love giving Ferdy massages, just so you guys know.
Yes. And I love receiving it. So yeah, check it out, and I gladly take all the L's for the big movement.
I had to ask you, can you explain what does an L mean?
L and W is, I'm surprised you don't know that, it's big in the States. L is...
This is the same when you were... what is this thing?
Dabbing.
Babe, this is... This is what little kids do in the States. This is not what adults do. So when you go L on your forehead, I'm like, what are you doing?
Baby, let me have my process. Let me be cool. So a L is a loser and a W is a win. And I took the L's.
Do you put a W on your forehead sometimes? Is this what
happens? No, I think this is what kids do. But just saying, taking the L is what the grown-up cool kids do.
Uh-huh.
The streamers on YouTube do that. What I'm saying is, I'm so happy you got, I knew there's so much more to learn, to grow, and I was like, where's someone to, reflect me and teach me, of things that I can, get out of me, the chicken's all right, programming, and you so... made it obvious and got it out of me. And also, that's why I often say, I'm so sorry. Because there were many moments where, you got it out of me. And thus, you experienced it by me being shitty in, toxic masculinities. I got programmed from society. And then while doing that afterwards, I'm like, Ferdy, cringe. Don't do that again. Where does that come from? And now I'm so excited to... see that in others and help and teach others. And everyone is doing everything out of love. I did the best I could and everything is doing the best they can. And it's hey, we got programmed. This world is so in the masculine, so much toxic masculinity. And it's just quote unquote normal. But hey, no, this is not nice. But no one has taught us. And you taught me so many tools. So thank you. And now...
That's why I think so many women are just angry at the masculine, in general, just hate men.
I can understand.
And I also understand this. And at the same time, I find it to be unproductive if we actually want to find a solution and come into a better world. And that's why I keep saying we need to befriend the masculine in ourselves. Because if you hate men and you hate the masculine, you also hate the masculine part of yourself, which is half of you. And then a lot of women become the masculine. They become these masculine versions of themselves because they're like, fine, fuck men. I'm going to take care of myself. I'll do it myself. But we don't want to do that, you know? We want to be in our feminine. We chose to be feminine in this timeline. And it's beautiful to feel all of our emotions and to be hosted in them. And so if we can befriend the masculine, but the masculine also has to be open to this, to work together and rise up together. And that is the masculine being open to listening. Like, so I think it's a really big deal that you were open to taking feedback and growing and evolving through. Like I said this to you, I think outside the podcast, but I didn't change you. Like I didn't, like I, you changed yourself. I shared the vibration. I shared what I knew from the emotional tools and stuff.
I'm going to close this. Okay.
Yeah. Just I think the chicken.
Okay. Hold on. And we're back with full presence.
I don't remember what I was saying.
That, I allowed myself.
So I didn't change you. Like you changed yourself. No one can change. Like if women feel I'm going to go change this man, like that's bullshit. No one can change. Everyone is on their own process of growth and evolution. All we can do is share our vibration, share, you know, I shared the emotional tools that I knew with you and the resources and different things that I had learned through my own life experience. You took that information in and then chose to change yourself. And that's beautiful. And I fully support that, you know, and I'm here like rooting you on in it. And at the same time, you've helped me a lot. And through your presence in my life, I've chosen to
upgrade. You helped yourself.
Yeah, I helped myself, chosen to upgrade myself, put myself out there more, feel more safe in the world, bold.
Listening to Bashar.
Yes. And also, I think it's funny because you brought Bashar into my life, which is like aliens and like channeling and all this stuff. And it has have like, I don't think directly, but like indirectly, it has brought me full circle to being more in touch with my spirituality, because Bashar is one link into the universal message. And I've been studying the universal message from many different avenues over my whole life. And I feel like now I'm like, I want to do more energy work. I want to like get more into my spirituality in general, my connection to source. And so it's been like one more touch point in that journey. And I feel really grateful for that.
Amen, sister. So yeah, if you haven't checked out the podcast, check it out. I feel like it crystallizes more and more what is like quote unquote important to talk about, to shift more and more the new earth that we see, because we all gotta like love ourselves and we all gotta face our shit. And then like, the people that shift with us, that resonate, these are the things. And that's why I'm also so excited about the book Brittany Bond is gonna write. And the alien we just talked about, Bashar, he was like, Brittany, you should write this book. It was like really direct about
many
that.
Many people who told me I need to write a book. And now I'm like listening. I'm finally listening.
Because, baby, like, you know?
So we were just talking before the podcast that I reached out to a friend of mine in the community here on Koh Phan Yong, like helps people write their autobiographies. And I was like, I have felt this calling to write this book for many years. And I've even started it back in like 2016. I had a personal assistant who I was like sending voice messages to, and she was like dictating part of the book. And a lot of it was my life experience in relationships. It was like what I have learned through being in relationships and my own sexuality, coming into my full power as a woman on this timeline. And then also how I feel like relationships can evolve in the future, you know, and just my vision of how we can be in our relating to each other. And then like, when I actually sit down to think about like writing, I have it open in my notes, like different things I've written down. And I just get really overwhelmed by the amount of things I want to say. And like, what should I say first? What structure? And then you were like helping me with that this morning.
So I think it's really nice when we talk about this now, to first of all, not be overwhelmed. See, like, this is all fun. And like when I wrote my ebooks and everyone I helped starting something, creating something, they had the same. They know, they have the big excitement. They want to do something like writing something or so, or making a video course. But then this barrier of actually getting started and then finding a permission slip that helps you to get started. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's so nice to just quote unquote commit, like every day when I'm excited. It doesn't need to be every day, but just putting 20 minutes on the timer and creating a space where I feel really good. Like for me, back then when I wrote my ebooks, I was in Berlin in my apartment going on my treadmill desk, first thing in the morning, 20 minutes on the timer, and then just being in this energy. And then, okay, what are actually the things in the core? And then da, 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 da. And then I outlined them more, okay. Then I start with the first one and I started writing. And then the next day I already knew where to start. I was already so excited. And then the next days, I like 20 minutes were over and I continued for like another hour because I was so in the flow. It's just getting over this barrier. So I think this is also a great permission slip that maybe, and only when you're excited, and it doesn't need to be in the morning, if something else excites you more than later in the day, like whatever excites you the most.
It feels exciting to do it first thing. Yeah. Because then I know, like, because it is something I really, it's like I care about it so much that it scares me. And I, when I was doing my vision questing in Wainom this week, I was feeling into this. I was like, why is the book overwhelming me? Because I want to do it so badly, you know, and like go into your beliefs. And like, I realized that I had some beliefs around, who am I to write a book? Is anyone gonna? Because I love reading. Like I grew up, I would read literally one book a day. Like my, I can read very quickly, and I love reading. And I think it's so beautiful to like have a hard copy of a book. And I even can see like the vision of what the cover of my book will look like, and like what it will feel like to hold it.
Who are you to write a book, baby? You know, are the most powerful woman. You are the highest priestess. You are the creator of the vanilla vanilla blay parties. You are Kopangan nation itself. You survived what many people wouldn't survive and turned it around and inspire millions of people. There are so many chunk books out there. Everyone can write a book. Sometimes I like, this should be like,
that's the thing, is I'm not gonna write any book. Yeah, I'm not really, I don't even want to write an ebook. I want to write a book that someone's gonna hold in
their hand. But why I think it overwhelms you is actually because you know, you already know how powerful, how impactful this is gonna be. This is like one of those books.
Yeah, of course, because then
I think that's what overwhelms you.
Yeah, and then if people really see me, then it's like, oh fuck, people really are gonna see me. And this is something
I got you back.
Thank you. I was talking to Coco and Lena about is like, they went on this retreat and they talked about something called the witch wound. And it's like about, it's basically women in other timelines, like if we went linearly in our past of history, who are powerful in their power, which is also connected to their sexuality, spirituality, energy work. And they were like killed for it, you know, and it's just kind of this wound of being seen as a powerful woman in the world. And a lot of women who are allowing themselves to be seen in this way are very in their masculine. They're not, you know, they're not in their feminine. They're not in their feminine power. They're in their masculine power. And I choose to be in my feminine power. And it's just something that it's like, okay, this feels bigger. This feels big because of that. It also feels exciting because of that, because I feel ready to be seen.
So my question is, do you believe it is safe now to share that with the world and be seen?
Yes.
Then there's nothing to be overwhelmed about.
I know, and that's why I'm like, let's do this.
Let's do it, baby. Okay, today or tomorrow.
Why don't you take that kimono off? You look, you're like sweating on your forehead.
Maybe.
There's like dripping, it's coming off.
It's so much better than last year. Last year I was drenched. It's just a bit of sweat.
Why don't you take it off though? You look even better without clothes on.
But then I sweat in a beanbag. It's like even more uncomfortable. I mean, I'm comfortable. Okay. Like I maybe take it off in a little bit.
Okay.
So yeah, for everyone out there listening too, this is a great permission slip. Just find spaces where you feel good. Like for me, this was the treadmill desk. For you, I think it's great like to find a couple spots here where you can sit good, take like the Mac holder that you can get like super in the flow. Like we all know this flow state when we're in, like when we're in the gym on the treadmill, headphones on, we're like doing stories, we're like getting so in the flow, finding a couple spots where you get so in the flow. Mm-hmm. And then, and also maybe sometimes outside of home, like a daily devi or so, and then just 20 minutes on it. And after like 20 minutes, you're just in that vortex. You keep thinking only about that. You don't look at your phone or anything. You're in this reality. And you don't need to be like, quote unquote, think you need to be super productive. You just put all your focus on it. Like be in your imagination. Like, oh yeah, what are actually the core points about it? Da, da, da. And then it just like comes out of you. And then it's just like flowy doughy. Pew. So yeah. And you know, like I would also keep in mind, like what world do I want to shift in? Because this is like, I see it as a magic book you're going to write. This is like the quote unquote Bible for the new earth.
Well, this is why I love reading this future sex book. It's a book called Future Sex, and it's someone who's channeling, talking to aliens like of different species and asking them, how do you guys do sexuality in your species? And I'm like, from each section, every alien that they talk to, every species, every society, I'm taking something different. I'm like, I like this part. I would do this. This resonates with me. And I also feel called in the book to be like, let's learn from all these other societies, even if you don't believe in aliens, which is weird. But like, you can still take this as an idea of something that we could, you know, apply as our future possibility of how we want to view our sexuality. Because our sexuality is connected to our creative life force, which is connected to everything that we do in our life. You know, like, it's so interesting. It's not interesting if you really look at it from society perspective today, that so many people are so disconnected from their sexuality, which is a big opportunity for us to connect to our source. You know, like, our sexuality has been cut off and put into porn. So it's like kept in, like we were talking about this yesterday. Sexuality is kept in the sacral chakra, which is the first chakra. And so it's just like, oh, animalistic, I'm going to fuck you. But when we use sexuality, and this is what Tantra is, you move the whole energy through your whole body, like up to your heart, up through your crown chakra while you're making love. And you're able to connect to source, God, all that is, whatever you want to call it. But it's like one of the biggest permission slips to connect to your spirituality. If we do it in a way that is conscious and we know how to do it. And I know people want to learn this. They just don't know how.
So this book, I see, is a lot about sex. Mm-hmm. And your life story, what you learned, especially from all your stories with boyfriends, and go into details, because your stories are the best and they're so juicy. Give them all the juice, what you learned, how you got here, and then where you see things going based on what we actually like see in our hearts, like how we like we see our Pleiadians. Wow, this is amazing. Then Sasanis, okay, this is like too far, like you know, because we can decide. Mm-hmm. Like I could decide to be this total alien boy and totally be in spirit all the time, but no, I choose, my excitement is to be so human that the new earth is, we're still physical and like best out of both worlds, you know. Mm-hmm. And that this becomes like a Bible, your book, of the new earth toolkit, you know, like, yeah, our video course.
But I want people to take it, and the beautiful thing about sexuality is it's
and masturbate.
Yeah. But it's so connected to who we are as an individual. So I want people to read my book and be activated to go create what feels good in their bodies. Not be like, I need to do my relationships what Brittany said in her book. It's like, no. And even in this future sex book where they talk to the aliens, the Pleiadians was like, do not take this as what you should do. Take it and create your own culture. And that's what I would love for people to do.
And that's why I so see you just talking about how you got here, your life experience. And by that, it's not like, you should do. No, there's no should. Here is how I got here. This is what I learned in this relationship. And here you can already have the learning. And this like really helped me to find my own source connection, like tune into myself, love myself, and during sex. And here I explored sex magic, and during orgasm, and I put it from my penis up into my heart, and like I feel this connection, and we're just like da da da, and talk about. And
you're talking about me as if I have a penis.
I was talking about myself this morning, and it felt so good, baby. I was like, wow. I felt our energetic bodies, and I'm like, wow. This is the psychedelic trip. And you know, also a huge thing is just, like the biggest thing is just to have fun. Like, mm-hmm. that people read this book and it's like, they read it again because it's so fun. They hang out with you. Like, when you tell me your life stories, baby, it's like better than any movie. Because your life is so amazing. Like, I'm so crushing on your timeline and how you tell it. Like, you are so good at storytelling, and I can feel your emotions. Like, how much this meant to you, how much you learned, how much you just like care. And it's like so beautiful. And people want to pick up this book and read it again because it's so beautiful. And it's so light. It's so, like, your story is like, oh, I just want to go in the book and read this story where Ferdi was, like, so in his toxic masculinity, and then this happened, And then he got it, and just the whole story. So baby, just today or tomorrow, 20 minutes on the timer, and we keep everyone up to date.
Okay. Happening. It's happening.
Yes. And then don't stress yourself all out of, you know, like there is no arrival. There's like, and also really important to know the frequency you write it is the frequency that is in the book, you know?
Yeah. And if someone was to take in the frequency, I want it to be of love. I feel like if we do everything with love and juiciness and feeling good in our bodies, then everything's like everything that happens after that is good.
Everything out of love. Amen. Everything except one thing, and that is nothing. Oh, that joke.
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
So stay tuned for Brittany Bond's book. Baby. So yeah, and check out her latest podcast. Baby, it's really well. And I'm not gonna listen to it again.
Can't handle it. I haven't even listened to it again. I was channeling so hard in that podcast. I feel really proud of that podcast, and I also wasn't sure if you were going to be okay with it. And I was like, I still need to release it, even if he gets angry.
How do you feel me being so supportive and okay with that?
It feels really good, babe.
Yeah, because I, you know, like I am not, like I am proud of the past 30, and I did everything as good as I, like out of love. Like we all do everything out of love. We all do the best we can. It's like I would do exactly the same he or she does if I would be in his or her shoes where he or she is, having her or his beliefs. I would do exactly the same. It's like we are just like gotta face our shit, and we got so much programming in us, many of us. So I cringe on old versions of me, but I'm like proud of myself because I did the best I could, and I'm so happy that because I choose to become this, you know, I could like be like, oh, yeah, fuck Britney, like, no, I know better. But no, I want to be my higher self. I want to like full integration. I want to like own it. So I'm proud of this podcast that because I'm not this fairy anymore, you know, like and I love to be the role model. Like, hey, I show myself so vulnerable and I don't pretend like I'm perfect, like we're all perfect where we are, and we're all learning and growing. We're all on our journey. So let's enjoy the ride and let's not hide. It's safe to shine and show us vulnerable and don't pretend we're these like blah. No, I'm Ferdi. I'm out here. I'm doing the best. You're out there. You're doing the best. And I see you and I appreciate you. Let's do everything out of love. Be kind and help each other. Amen. Thanks for calming me down. Thanks for doing some energy work on me. I felt it. I was like, whoop. And then you're like,
sometimes you do
whoop.
This thing where you just breathe. You don't breathe. And you keep talking.
Yep.
And then it makes me feel like I can't breathe when I listen to you. And then I just go.
And then I just like. Okay, baby. How do you feel in your body?
I feel good. Yesterday was a long day.
You did a lot.
I did actually a lot.
In spirit and 3D.
Yeah. And so I think today I'm still feeling that, but I am excited for today. And yeah, I just feel very in my groove. I feel since you and I, this last thing that happened between us, I feel like you see me all the way and I'm like not hiding anymore, you know? And so it's, I think part of the reason why I was energetically tired around you was because I was using some of my energy to hide myself. And so now I'm like allowing all the energy to go through. And so I feel very embodied these days. And like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. You know, like kind of, you know, like when you're on like acid or something and you just feel like the closest I can, I don't know if anyone's going to understand this, but for me, if I've had a little microdose of acid, I'm sober right now, but if I've had a little microdose of acid and then I smoke a tiny bit of a joint and I just feel like so chill, but like so in my body. And now I feel like that's sober and it feels really nice. So I'm just like, I'm good. Everything's flowing. Everything's perfect in the universe. And I'm excited to be on the island and like, you know, go to the gym later and there's a couple things in the vortex today that might manifest, and I'm just like flowing with whatever. And I would love to sit down and like write part of the book and hang out with you and vibe and, you know.
And just life keeps bringing all these amazing things and also these amazing challenges. Like yesterday I was like, oh, Brittany and I were so good. Everything is so perfect. And then, boom, another challenge that like was another person that like triggered me. And then like I fully want to integrate, look at everything. So I went to bed super early and like really meditated about that for hours, like falling asleep, you know, and really always come back to, I forgive. I forgive myself. I forgive everyone else. We're not dead anymore. And I see why he or she and I did what we did. And I just forgive everyone. And I just want to be friends with everyone. But I was so triggered. So I'm like, it just never stops. But it's like, it never stops. And then it's like, how do we want to approach it? And we can make everything nice and easy and flowy. And together, it's just the most fun, baby. Mm-hmm. Like us together. It's like, baby, this is the best trip ever. And like in this not attached way, but out of abundance. Mm-hmm. It's like because we want to. Like alone is like cool to check in, to find yourself, to ground and I'm on my path. This is me, this is my individual excitement. But then I wanna like co-create each other, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited for special souls to come on the island and have quality time, like when Eugene came, you know, mm-hmm. when Simon might come and other friends of ours, mm-hmm. and also finding like being so open for new friends and just letting it all like flow in.
Yeah, I just find it funny in the timeline because Eugene left last Monday, a couple days ago, and then I went to Wainan by myself, and then you came and got me and was there for a night, and then we came back yesterday, and then we had a whole day here, and then I went to go pick up Sergey. And now he's living with us, and...
Ah, yeah, true. I forgot about him. He's still sleeping. Ah, he already have a new friend. Yeah. Instant manifestation.
So, if you guys don't know, Sergey is someone I dated in the past, but we're just friends now, and he has studied human design and energy work in Russia for 10 years, and him and I were doing lots of energy work in the past, and I'm very excited to have him teach me more things. And
us
now it's an us, yeah, because I'm excited that you want to learn these things.
Yes.
And so, and now he's living with us.
This is gonna be interesting. Yes. Our life just keeps like staying spicy and sparky.
Okay, so for anyone who knows things about human design, Faraday is a 6-3 reflector born on September 9th. And then Sergey is a 6-3 manifester born on September 9th. They have the same birthday and they are almost the same on human design, but exact opposites from a human design perspective. And now I'm sleeping in between them. Like we have three rooms and like I'm in the middle room. And yeah, Sergey watched over the house when we were in Europe and watched my dog. And I'm very grateful for him for like protecting and holding on the space. And he'll be here with us for a couple months until Carl and Eve move back in. And yeah, it just feels like the universe is like, here's the next person you can learn from and co-create things with. And yeah. And then yesterday, like a Thai friend needed my help. So I went to the police station, was like there with her, and then had the conversation with Julian. Like, it's just like so many things. Bam, 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 bam. And so, but this is, I feel like every day there is lots of things coming in, but I feel so much more grounded in it. Mm-hmm. Like in the past, I would be really like caught up in the drama or like, you know, take it in emotionally. And now I feel like very, like my energy field around me is very strong. So things don't really get in. I'm just like mm-hmm. dealing with this. Okay, you're good. How can I help you? I can't help you anymore. I gotta go, you know, like whatever.
And like in the recent past, we so got to see the synchronicity of all of it. Mm-hmm. And looking back, how everything is perfect. Everything is working out, best case scenario. Everything is happening for you. And now looking forward to trust and also already seeing the synchronicity. Like there's so, like what you just said, how synchronistic that all is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like here on the silver tray. And then just like, yeah, I can stress myself out or I can really enjoy it. And
yeah, because Eugene told us to do more energy work and breath work. And when Sergey and I were living together, that's what we did every single day. We'd wake up and do breath work, energy clearing, tarot, like talk about human design. And so I feel like we're going to have a little boot camp of that here in the most fun way possible. But I feel like you're right. Like we are merging more with our higher selves, higher mind, whatever you want to call it. And so we're allowing ourselves to see the synchronicity in the moment it's happening instead of like retroactively, you know.
And already like a little ahead, like, oh, there's my birthday, 9th, the same day Bashar event is happening, and so many other synchronistic things I could see and feel coming, and like they're really like here. This is my higher self here, fairly act on it, and my physical mind, our physical minds, or especially mine speaking for myself, is so catching up to not be in the way anymore, like fully in the trust and like get it. My higher self and physical mind had so many talks the last days, and my physical mind really gets it and feels safe, and I can feel safe now being in the here and now. I don't need to be a step ahead to not get in the programming.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, that's a big one.
How do you feel in your body?
I feel pretty good. Like the last days were really intense. Yeah. And like since yesterday we were like reconnected, so now my body can like chill, and I feel like I'm pretty tired and feel a bit upgradish. I call it upgrading when other people might call it being a bit sick. And you know, when there's like a lot of things happening, you're just like, ah. And then I also exercised a lot, and
I
now that
like
I
exercised to emotionally resource.
Yeah, like I felt things I never felt before, like this.
Like what?
Yeah, like when Eugene was here this whole time, this sober ayahuasca ceremony, maybe this was the toughest challenge in my life. Like this was tougher than the hospital. This, like, I never felt these feelings before. There's a little cut in from me in the future, a little heads up for the rest of the episode. I stumble and mumble a lot because the things I talk about are happening right now, and I don't find words so well yet to talk about it. You know, when you've been through something and processed it and talked about it many times, you're really good at talking about it, but when you're in it, sometimes you don't find words so well. But then I want to leave it all in because I like to be so real, because you cannot fake a frequency, and the frequency is so real and authentic. So just a little heads up. And I also wanted to make this this little cut in to say one thing, because I didn't speak, and one thing I misspoke was, you know, like there were two things that are coming up now. The one thing about psychedelics, and the other thing about going through that with Brittany, like what felt like a breakup. I couldn't put in words so well. And about the breakup part, I said, I said Brittany's there all the time and I can talk to her and be mean to her, but I forgot to mention that it's in my head. Like, we're so connected, she's always there, and often I'm on my scooter, I go for a walk, I go in nature, I meditate, and I talk to her. I create a timeline where I talk to her and I can channel her, that I kind of know what she will say back, and then I play out certain things, like I'm super mean to her. And then I do that, and I quickly realize I don't want to be that, because it's always like me not loving myself, want outside validation, blah blah blah. And then I play that through, and I'm like, Ferdi, I don't want to be that in this timeline. So that's what I wanted to say, and I said like so many times, so please forgive me. I want to say like less often. It's just when I struggle for words, I say like, and that's it. Yeah, as I said, should I just leave this in, but I want to put out us real, and I don't want to pretend like I'm this perfect man. No, I think it's so beautiful that men show them so vulnerable and sharing their journey where they are, and not like, oh, I need to process that for years and then talk about it. No, some things, yes, it's nice offline to process them, and some things it's nice to share them while they're happening, like whatever excites you, and it excites me. So enjoy this episode, and the next one, we already recorded another one, Brittany and I, is so good and flowy, because they're the things we talk about. I like feel comfortable talking about it, and here I also feel comfortable. It's just, I'm like, it's
is like this feeling when how it felt. Like, I still don't know how to put it in words so well, especially in English. All right, enjoy.
Like, I never felt these feelings before, like this inside my gut.
Yeah, describe it.
Yeah, it's like wherever you go, it's there, and it's like this sober ego death of I felt so stable and secure with you, and then seeing like I build up attachments, and then letting that go and having the talk with the ego, like, no, it's like the higher self was like keep reminding me, like, yeah, you let her go, but it's not that she, like, this is no breakup. But it's so challenging for the physical mind, because the physical mind loves stability, security, and then it was just like I had breakup feelings before that like really hurt, and this is like it's getting like to this point where it's like, you know, you're like, what is the point of living anymore? Like, super dumb, I know. And I wasn't like, I'm not suicidal, but I it's like so strong that like when you have physical pain, you can go to the doctor and get help, or other things that are in myself. I know how to be good in myself. Like, okay, I listen to Bashar, I do this, that, but when it's like another person, and then you can feel you were pulling back, and then really understanding that all why, and not being like my little dumb physical mind, and seeing the bigger picture, and also like preparing for when you might be with other men, and just like being good within myself and in that dynamic. And it was really tough.
What sensations were you having in your body?
Yeah, the gut was like, it was like, it's like all other sensations were numb. Like, I couldn't feel if I was tired or hungry. Like, I didn't eat so much. And when I ate, I couldn't eat much. And I woke up and I knew I didn't sleep much, but I had to go and go with Afro to the beach, because I'm like, this feeling numbs everything else, and it's so strong, and it's like I'm about to like rah, like shapeshift into a dragon and spill so much fire everywhere and just like cause haymak and chaos. I don't know if these are haymak. I don't know if
they're havoc.
Havoc, yeah. And just like rah. And then, okay, I got to talk to you. And then, I am physically dum-dum right now, trying to reassure.
Did you just say physically dum-dum?
Physical mind dum-dum, yeah. You know what I mean? Just like, I know when I am that. And it's just like, oh. And then, you know, I have these talks. Like, you always say, I can always talk to you. And then sometimes I'm like super mean to you to just talk it out and see, like, I don't want to be this. Like, this is, I see how dumb it is. I see how dumb I am.
Dum-dum.
I'm such a dum-dum. I'm like, and I know, and I'm like, hey, this is so dumb. And they're like, well, but I love it so much. And then I go in the victim role, but I love it so much. And I'm like, fuck. And I start to run, and I was just like, fuck. And then I get it. And then I really had to get it to be good, you know, to not break. And because I wanted to get it, because I saw these timelines, I see the other timelines, and it all comes back to being good within myself, like loving myself. And I don't want to choose any of these timelines where I don't love myself. And if I would put it on you, it would only be because I'm not good within myself. I'm like attached. I need you to reassure me. And I don't want to be that fairy at all. It was just this harsh shift from, you know, like, I didn't realize you were like holding our emotional space. Like, even though you said it, I was like not hearing it because you just did it. And I was just like comfortable. It felt like back then when my mom took care of everything and then I went to the army.
That is not sexy when you compare me to your mother.
No, this is also, but it's like, and then I went to the army and then I saw, oh, this is actually reality. I gotta like follow my, otherwise, you know? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Not a good example.
But I think that's actually what was happening. I feel like,
What?
I no. was taking care of things emotionally, just like your mom used to take care of things physically for you.
Yes, but I never had like mom vibes from you. Like I never made you my mom. But
I know, but it's just still, you know.
But yeah, yeah, like totally. It's just this, like you were the strongest drug, you know, and it just felt like, imagine you take MDMA and you can stay on it. And I was just like, oh, and then like, oh, yeah. And then like, Ferdy, no, you like get your own MDMA.
Yeah,
and
it's like, sorry, last night he told me I was hooked on your energy, Brittany. And I was like, he's like, it was so empowering for me. And I'm thinking, yeah, everyone gets hooked on my energy. I know.
So, yeah, if you want to have the biggest challenge in life. Path cross a cross path with Brittany Bond, and I'm like, I did it. I really chose to be my higher self and get it, you know, and my physical mind like got it.
So what did you get?
That I like that I'm good within myself, that I'm not attached, and that like I had this error thinking that when I'm not attached, it's like this dumb, you know, we like to be traumatic, like this little black or white. Like if I'm not attached, I'm going to move out. We're not going to be together. I need to protect my heart. We're going to be like...
I mean, that is what most people do.
Yeah. But then I like... My higher self was like, Ferdy, you know what we have. Like our love. How much we love each other. And you also know how less attractive, how less nice the relationship is when you are attached. When we build these things out of fear, like, oh, I only stay with you. And then it's like we're less attracted to each other. But when we are good within ourselves and like not having this error thinking, I'm not attached, but I know I have you in my life. And when we explore more outside, it's out of abundance. And then you come back and I learn more from you. Mm-hmm. Like this is the most epic timeline. And then also what helped me a lot, because I had so my focus only on you, you know, I was like in this Britney vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stepped out and I saw, here's the Britney vortex, and looked to the left and the right. And then I could just feel, oh, there's so many other amazing humans out there. And it's so nice to like connect with other humans and like out of abundance, you know, not like, oh, now I go. No, nothing of that.
Like the gay man on Zen Beach.
Yeah, this was a nice connection. Like he's really nice. I found there a nice connection. It's just like when I'm flowing in the water, you know. Caring touch. baby.
I want to make a joke right now, but trying to be respectful.
You can do it.
It's just like how he like slipped, touched your penis.
Baby.
But he wants to make love with you so hard, babe. Like he was scared of me. So this guy, just to back people up, catch people up. I have been gone for the week and Faraday's been going to Naked Beach, which is right next to Zen Beach and everyone's naked. And this gay guy swam up to him in the water. It's a very common Kopan Yang story. Tantric lovers of like, let me flow with you. Let me share energy. I will give you a massage on the beach. Oh, I touched your penis. Oh.
Can I now tell my side of the story?
Of course.
Feels good because your podcast, I was like, can I fucking tell my side of the story?
I'm just teasing you right now.
He is a really nice guy.
I'm sure he is.
And he is like super respectful of what is comfortable for me. Like he wants to connect. Like we're both wanting to connect. And
he definitely wants to connect.
And then the first evening... Like, we were just, like, doing water flow, and I told you about it, and then you were texting me, like, you can make out with him. Like, I don't mind. Like, you texted
I was like, do whatever you want, but I feel...
And then...
I just said, don't use me as the your reason why you told him you don't want to connect.
And then I explored more. Like, we cuddled at the beach, and this was really nice, you know?
And what else did you do?
Yeah, that's it. No. That's it so far. And he...
Didn't he give you a massage?
No, it's just like cuddling at the beach, like massaging each other, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That is other things.
And that is beautiful. Yeah, of course. Like, I only want special souls in my life, and he's a special soul, baby.
I'm so grateful for your connection, babe. I'm just teasing you.
Okay. But I just like...
I'm allowed to tease you. Okay. You tease me all the time.
But I just like, if he listens, and he might do, you know?
Of course. There's no disrespect here.
Yeah. Everything comes out of abundance. Like I don't want to be this negative ego fairy who we're disconnected. I run to other girls too. Like, this is so ew. I was just calling in more, like, this is just the universe, you know, the synchronicity. I was literally being in the ocean in Sand Beach naked, looking in the universe and saying to my higher self, I call in more nice connections. Mm-hmm. And this second he swam by and he was like, hi. And then we had this nice...
Or was he like, hey?
Maybe. Are you jealous?
No, not at all. That's why it's funny.
And it's like I'm so excited to explore more caring touch with men. Like I call myself, like, I don't even like labels. Like, I think we're all bisexual or pansexual or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's just so much programming. If you don't have that programming,
it's a spectrum. You know, like, it's not like yes or no, gay or not gay. It's like flowing. And for me, it's with the person. Like, I have fallen in love with the person. So I guess that's pansexual, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, attracted not by genders, but by energies. Yeah. And like we were doing this water flow and it was so sensual. I was closing my eyes and I got a boner, you know, mm-hmm. like, because it was like arousing for me. Mm-hmm. And in my physical mind, there is no programming anymore. Oh, it's a man or anything. But on the spectrum, I'm way more into feminine energy that is also like that chose to come here as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I explore now, like, and I explored it all. Like, I had anal sex, like, where I got penetrated. I gave blowjobs. Like, I explored it all to see. And it's not, it doesn't turn me on so much. Mm-hmm. But what I want to explore more with men is caring touch. Mm-hmm. Like really caring touch. Like, not just like, oh, a bro hug, or, but like really.
What do you mean, caring, completely just caring, or sensual caring?
Sensual caring, yeah. So sensual
caring. Those are different, because caring touch is like what your dad would give you. Your dad would not be giving you sensual touch.
Okay, both actually, yeah. Where it's like arousing, but I have no urge or excitement to go further, because mm-hmm. it's like, it's not arousing for me.
Yeah, this is how I felt with Jasmine a lot of time. I told you, like, Jasmine and I, the girl that I dated, we would make out all the time and like hump each other and have, like, I would call it energetic sex, mm-hmm. where we would both come with, like, fully clothed a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about touching genitals, it's just like literally merging souls. But it was so sensual, and we were both so turned on by it, you know?
Yeah. And maybe this water floating, I want to do it more often. This is so nice.
Yeah, but we should get the nose clips.
He has it. Got it.
He's got everything, doesn't he?
He's amazing. So, what were we even talking about?
We were talking about you feeling safe in your body in the moment. So do you want to explain this about your thing with...
Just one thing I wanted to add... that about earlier, like, how I got this that really understanding and not having this error thinking that it's black and white, we break up, like, no, seeing that it's like we have our connection, mm-hmm. and we know what it is, and like I know you if you go out to other whoever, it's coming out of abundance, mm-hmm. and it's adding to us. I know our foundation. I know, like, we have stability in that. And I know whenever you go, it's, oh, she goes out in the world to bring even more back, to teach others. And thus she learns more and she can teach me. And same for me, you know? Like, you got it out of me. Like, at the beginning, I wasn't like that. I was like, oh, next day I'm going to flirt with her at Pyramid. I'm like, ew, cringe, cringe, cringe. And I never want to do that again. So I understood that all. So I just wanted to also say that. And now about being in the now, that I felt like my whole life, you know, I grew up in the Matrix, and my family is really in the system. I like went in my imagination so much to protect myself, to not get brainwashed, because like there were so many times I don't want to be there. So and that's why I also loved other worlds, like World of Warcraft. And then in my imagination, I could think so much. Oh, I just need two more frost marks to buy this shoulder blades and da da da, and just not get into the programming. And then especially when I moved out, and I was so eager to make my own money, to not, because in the army I saw when you take orders from someone else, you don't like, and it's like destructive orders, like not aligned. Mm-hmm. It's like your anti-excitement. I'm like, no. I want to follow my own excitement. And I felt like you described it so well that I had to be one step ahead to like, okay, here's good, but like, okay, what's next that I don't like? And often I didn't want to be at the places so much. Mm-hmm. I was like doing things to create my own empire, to find myself and keep thinking ahead, that because I could feel the system is always like, okay, yeah, what's next? And my mom wants me to do something. So I'm like, okay, I do this vegan apprenticeship. I do online, so she's happy. Okay, I do this, so she's good there now. Okay, so I can do this over there. And I don't get me wrong, like I was following my joy in the moment, but a lot, not this full body presence, but this head presence, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I'm here, but my Kopf is my head. This is the German word I just used.
What does it mean?
Kopf. my head is like thinking a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And now it's like sinking from my thinking into my body. And actually, because I still had a lot of fear-based beliefs of money. Or like, I had a lot of money, but my family's like, it's kind of like never enough, you know?
And your family has so much money.
I know, it's all...
But it's never enough.
Yeah.
So then what's the point?
Exactly. And then like, I had this realization recently where I was like, baby, we're so rich. Mm-hmm. Like, because I hit this point where I was spending recently a bit more than I earned. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh! And then like, no, actually, we have so much. We're rich. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the money for then? And now I'm so good. And then because also here, a big one is I want to be here, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, even in Berlin, many places, I didn't want to be.
You didn't feel good in your body?
Yeah.
I feel like this, most people live, like I used to be like this, where it didn't feel safe to be in my body in the physical situation. So I would be in my mind. And then I had whole relationships with men like this, where I was just mostly in my mind, and my body was frozen. And then after we broke up, I allowed myself to feel in my body how much I actually loved them. And like I would be on mushrooms or something. I remember one time with my Turkish boyfriend, I was like, oh my God, I love him so much. Like when the mushrooms hit me, I just was like, and it like all of it came into my body. And I was like, why couldn't I feel this in the moment with him? This is all he wanted, was to like allow the love to bounce back and forth. And it's because I didn't feel safe to be in my body in like in real time in the situation. And I feel for most people, this is how they live their whole lives, where they're not fully in their bodies. And everyone's running around trying to find permission slips to allow themselves to be in their body. And for most people in the world, it's drinking. They're like, I'm going to drink so that I'm like literally fucking my mind up so hard that there's like this split second of my body allowing my body to take over. But then they make bad decisions because... they're not really, there's nothing, you want your body and your mind to be connected, like in
they experience in like pain, like toxics,
yeah,
to be in the present.
Mm-hmm. Or they suppress what their body wants so much that when their mind checks out, when they're on alcohol, their body takes over and does a lot of things. Like I haven't drank that much in my life, but in my early 20s, I grew up in California. Like my friends' parents all had vineyards and like, you know, wine was a normal thing. And so I remember one time going to a concert in, it doesn't matter, but I would have this thing where I was in my early 20s, you know me, looking exactly like this in my early 20s, and I would go to concerts and get invited on stage with the stars, like very, very, very famous people, get invited backstage, get fed tons of alcohol, and I would black out, and I would wake up the next morning in someone's bed, not knowing what happened, not knowing if I had been raped, like, and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? And it made me so scared that I just stopped drinking. But I think it was also because I felt so suppressed in my religion that my mind was like, my body was like, I want to be free. So then I would go there, and then like the alcohol was a permission slip to allow my body to take over. So I've experienced this personally, like the fuckery that can happen with alcohol. And so from a very young age, like in my early 20s, I was like, no, we're not doing alcohol anymore. Like this is really destructive because now I have to clean up all this mess. Where was I going with this?
And then maybe the shift came to psychedelics, where you could experience the same, like being present in a...
Yeah, psychedelics was like one of the first times where I could allow my body, especially mushrooms, I could allow my body to take over. And it's like where I really felt my high priestess energy coming in, where I was like, wow, I'm so in my sensuality, I'm feeling so powerful, and also I'm clearing out a lot of energy in my body that has been stored there, a lot of trauma. I remember the first couple times I took mushrooms with a boyfriend that hosted me. He was very good at hosting. He's like a witch in his own way. And he would just hang out behind. I remember being at the ocean and him standing behind me while I just was curled up in a ball crying for literally 5 or 6 hours, and him just holding space. And then sometimes he'd come up to me and he'd be like, you know, you can also laugh too. Like, he was like trying to get me to get my like happiness. Like, and then I would like burst out laughing, we'd play a little bit, and then I'd just be like, no, I need to cry more. And it was just like years and years of trauma that had been stored in my body, and it was like slowly coming out. And then I remember the next couple times I did mushrooms, it would be like I'd cry for 4 hours, and then 3 hours, and then 1 hour, and then now it's like I cry from happiness because there's no more stored trauma in there.
Hey, you're so strong.
Thank you. But I think everyone can do this. And then I will say that the biggest thing for me is every step of the way I felt very hosted, and I allowed myself to be hosted. So if people are feeling unsafe, like, oh, I want to take psychedelics, I don't know, I don't feel safe, don't do it alone. Call in from the universe safe people to host you, because it's so powerful. Now in the States, they're allowing, like, you know, in the Matrix, they're allowing therapists to do MDMA sessions with people. So you, like, you have this amazing relationship with your therapist already where you feel safe, and then you sit down and take MDMA, and they, when you're on MDMA, you can access a lot of trauma without re-traumatizing yourself, and you can release it. So then your therapist is like working with you, helping you feel the love again, and like reconnecting with your self-worth while you're on MDMA. And for a lot of my friends, it has been life-changing for them, you know. And so there's so many safe ways that you can do it that are even approved in the Matrix, you know. So it doesn't have to be a bunch of hippies on a beach like I've been, but I think it's more fun.
Yeah, I want to do it on a beach and not in like an office.
I know.
For me, it was rather the other way around with psychedelics. Like, the first many trips were all like so positive and play. And just recently, it wasn't that I was crying all the time, but I was like seeing other timelines where, like, you saw, said it in your podcast, mm-hmm. where I was like peacing out, mm-hmm. Because I go blazes with psychedelics, especially like DMT, where like really in other dimensions. And then like sometimes I get stuck there or stay there, you know, because it's so nice.
I really feel it's because you already are so airy. Like, if we're looking at people's energy bodies, like, you are mostly made of air in your energy body. So you're already like flying. And then when you take psychedelics, you're like flying very far in the spirit world. The thing is that, you know, so many shamans that I've worked with and friends of mine that are very into Vedic astrology and understand energy work, they're all saying Faraday needs to ground himself. Yeah. He needs to be grounded in this reality. He needs to like buy more property. He needs to be roots. He needs to have roots here. He needs to, you know, so that you can, your spirit is like, no, I need to stay in this timeline.
Yeah, I definitely want to speak about it more. Because I speak a lot, like really positively, mostly about psychedelics, because my trips were so positively, but really that do your research, like, because it was me, my trips were so, like, I loved going so high, you know. And then after the hospital, I didn't care so much about physicality. Like, with my scar, I'm like, I love going in other dimensions and all. Like, it's like, if you're in spirit, like, why not be there more and why not stay there, you know?
But you have to explain to people why that was after your surgery.
Because of my scar on my belly. And I was like, okay, my physical body is destroyed. I'm ugly. I'm a piece of shit. Like, I was like, not like I, you know, for my entire life, I had like really nice aesthetics, especially my six pack. And then it was like taken from me by the universe. And then it was like, it took me like over a year to really love myself again, mm-hmm. and to accept it and to thank it and call it like a jewel, a Schmuckstück in German. And in this time, and it's all synchronistic, like, this allowed me to be so out of space, but in this timeline, I can hold it. I went so far to come back full circle and be the alien on planet Earth as a human being. And you so crowned me and show me all the flowers, like the biggest flower you are, that makes me want to stay here in this timeline in this reality. So it all came full circle.
But I would say that you are not an alien on this timeline. You're a hybrid.
Yes, I'm a hybrid.
Claim your humanness.
Yes, and thank you for saying that. I want to be human. I want to be human. Baby, I love.
Do you want to be you, Jen?
No, I want to be me, Ferdi Beck. And I loved how we made love this morning and drank a cacao at Daily Devi, using our voices now to record a podcast.
Well, I would say just from my, can I give you my reflection of what you just said?
Yes, please.
Because I feel that what you just said is like your exploration into psychedelics after the surgery was actually out of scarcity. It wasn't out of complete abundance. It was like...
Both.
Okay, yeah. But it was like, fuck this timeline. You know, what I viewed as my self-worth, which was my physical body, and what people viewed me as beautiful is now gone. So I'm going to peace out.
Yeah, you're right.
And... I think psychedelics are amazing, and I know that I will use them in the future, but now I have like a renewed respect for them of, they are a tool. They are a very powerful tool and resource. They need to be used in that way. And that's how I've always used them. I don't normally take psychedelics at parties. Like if you look at my timeline of my experience with psychedelics, it's me going into the jungle by myself and just like really facing my shit.
Keep talking.
And I feel like if people look at it from that perspective of like using it to upgrade themselves, it will always have a positive impact on their lives.
It always makes sure it's excitement and not anxiety covered as excitement.
Sorry, you can make noise. You can make noise.
Yeah. So yeah, baby, thank you for bringing me full circle back here and also like saving me like this, like now that I... Like Eugene, like showed it to me so much, and now that I am excited to stop all substances for maybe forever and be my own pharmacy, which we all are, I allow myself to really look at it. And I like recently I had a really challenging dream, like my biggest nightmare ever, which was exactly like this loop experience I experienced on DMT, but while I was dreaming, so it was like real.
Wait, hold on, you're gonna confuse people. You had an experience on DMT where you were looping and you couldn't come back in this timeline.
Yeah,
that was a couple years ago, and now recently you had a dream.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't a loop, but it was like, should I quickly tell it?
Yeah.
Okay, so often when I dream or in trips, I think like it's okay. So real that this is reality, you know, like this is like this dream, and it's like. It's reality, you know, it's where I am right now. And we were out and about. And then I as often talk about DMT because I love talking about it because it gets me on that frequency. And then I was telling you about this trip that there was like this other
being. Wait, so this is the dream you're talking about? This is the dream, yeah. A couple of nights ago.
Yeah, and I'm like in the dream with you and I'm talking to you about DMT in the dream.
And I was away in Wainom, so you were here by yourself having this dream. Okay, yeah.
And I was like, there was this other being, but I couldn't quite understand what the being was saying. And then, like, you were just like, yeah, really try to, like, get in. Maybe you remember and you went to the toilet. And then I allowed myself. And then, like, oh, I was visiting myself, like, Ferdi to Ferdi. And I was...
So this is all happening in your dream?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
And I remember the DMT trip in my dream. And I was saying to myself, I was trying to stop myself to take DMT because I'm gonna like peace out.
So you were like visiting yourself from another timeline, like stop.
And then when I realized that, the whole reality transformed into DMT reality. And I was like, no, because I was like in this real reality as I thought in my dream. Didn't know I was dreaming. And everything became like this, often I'm in DMT in this cartoonish world. And I was like, no. It was like, it's like, oh, when it's like fucking reality crumbling and you like see through and like, you know, physical reality is a projection of our consciousness. It's what it is. Like we create it, but like we create it so solidly because we want to believe the stream right now. And when I like get too far where I just can see through too much, I don't want to be there right now. And there I was there. And then it was like, I was just, fuck. And the only thing that I could hold on to is like, Brittany's in the bathroom. She's coming back because all other people were acting normal because they're seeing the illusion, you know, of this reality. And I could see through it. I could see my imagination, whatever I wanted to see. But it's like cartoon blah. And I was like, she's coming back from the bathroom and maybe she can get me back. And then I woke up and then I was so happy to be here. I was so happy to be here. And I really told myself again, Ferdi, take a break on psychedelics, especially DMT. You got so far and now you can fuck it up. And then like, here we go, start again in another timeline. Mm-hmm. No, I fucked up, quote unquote, before where I peaced out. It feels like this game, you know, where like here playing this game and then like, oh, I explored my consciousness too much. I couldn't hold in my body. Here I start again, being born as Ferdi, da da da. Mm-hmm. And now like I remember because it happened in other timelines and they're like warning me. And I pay attention and pause. Mm-hmm. And I am, you know, like Eugene showed me how I can activate DMT soberly, you know. It feels like I see why I'm here in this timeline and I quote unquote got to be so alien to like all this shape shifting. It's just what it is. It's multidimensional in nature. It's not just like I'm gonna shape shift and be normal. You see multidimensional. Mm-hmm. So I gotta get that far to now be that soberly, but psychedelics were like the quick way, but then it's like, when is my higher self telling me to stop?
Yeah, it's like a shortcut to that. Because you like, but you didn't know how to do it in your physical mind. I think it's really a cool trick if we were like learning superpowers for you to be able to learn how to get to that multidimensionality while in your physical mind, physical body.
I mean, especially physical body, to quiet the physical mind and get into the physical body and get so in the here and now, like so in the presence.
This is why I feel like working with Sergey is going to be such a big thing for us to learn these tools of energy work, because it's all, we are energy bodies just vibrating fast enough that we have the illusion of material reality.
Mm.
And so when we learn more energy work, we can just start fucking with things. In
And in this grounded way where we're like sitting on a tree at the waterfall, like baby, these days I feel so grounded. Like the first day when we came here and we smoked a little bit of weed and we were like straight into DMT spirit template, I was like not crowning at all. And it started to like, I could see
and
through
that was
things.
Like the littlest amount of weed ever.
Yeah. It's just showing like how awake we are. And I like, it feels so good in myself to, it's like not just like, should I smoke DMT? Should I not? No, I don't. This feels so good. And being so grounded. Like I want to go to the tree and meditate there and then decide consciously, okay, let's go into spirit now. But as Eugene like explained it, this metaphor was really nice. That when you take psychedelics, it's like the shortcut where you cut your chakras open and then it just spills out. And then
The energy pours in.
And it's amazing, this permission slip for people like really in the system to wake up. Mm-hmm. But then at a point when you're like really awake and you can like hurt your chakras. So I'm
basically like we all have this protective barriers of our chakras so that we don't just go into multidimensionality. It keeps us in the physical.
Yeah.
And if you keep taking psychedelics over and over and over again, this protection is not there. And so you're like, you're literally multidimensional. And some people can become like psychosis. This is schizophrenia, psychosis. I really believe schizophrenia is someone who literally has one foot in one dimension, one in the other, and like in multiple timelines. Mm-hmm. And so they're like experiencing people in their living room from a different timeline. And those people are actually real. They're just like jumping in and out of timelines. But to do that and hold it in one body, it makes you crazy.
Yeah. That's why it comes back to self-love. How much consciousness can you hold in your body that feels good?
Because
if you cannot hold it, then if you have a psychosis, does it feel good? No.
No, you're just like fucked in a psych ward.
Yeah. Or like multidimensional disorder. But as Bashar likes to say, you can have a multidimensional order. Mm-hmm. Like how I can consciously go to other fairies, go to other timelines, access blue fire, talk to her, and have this in this conscious way where it's like, this amount of consciousness feels good in my body. Because when I'm like on DMT here I am. I cannot, or on weed, I cannot stop that consciousness. It's just like, it's there and it's like flowing through me. And it's like, it was there for 2 days. I was tripping for 2 days.
Oh, after the weed thing,
And like, there was this whole weed thing was like 2 days.
Yeah.
And like, I was rolling with it. It was, after all, super nice, but it showed me I'm not excited anymore.
Yeah, it was overwhelming for me.
Especially like if you've been on the island, you like the island.
It's already ungrounding here.
Yeah, is the colors are different.
We're already in a spaceship.
It's an island, like it's flowing in the water.
Literally ungrounded.
Yeah, but it's amazing for people to wake up, and now like I'm so happy to be crowned and have my nicer psychedelic, which is you, which is like extra crowning and extra awakening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we can like bounce it back and forth. Mm-hmm. We can like, oh yeah, let's go high in spirit and like, oh, it's getting too uncrowded. Let's just watch something easy.
I'll go get a massage.
Yeah.
Go sit in an ice bath.
And like Afro is also really crowning for
me. She is. I told you that one time we did DMT at the waterfall. I had my hand on her and I had one of my craziest, or not craziest, but like my biggest DMT trips while in my physical body, because my hand was on her and she was grounding me in the physical reality. So I was experiencing all of it. Like if I didn't have my hand on her, I probably would have blasted off out of my body. But I had my eyes open looking at the waterfall and I was like, whoa. I remember like there was this old abandoned house like directly across from us, and I saw the whole house like coming apart and like the energy, and it was like, and everything was like flashing all the colors and everything, and I was just like, I'm holding on to Afro, I'm holding on, and she's just like, I love you. This little ball of love.
Yeah, like going with her for walks is like so grounding. It's like I'm here with my dog and I'm going for a walk.
Oh, she hears
and there she comes. Afro Bear.
We love you.
Like, dogs are so amazing. Ooh. You know, Afro is like never in a bad mood. She's like always so like nice and loving. She always chooses love. And she always understands like, oh, you don't want to take me? It's cool. Yeah, I stay here and protect the house. Oh, you want to take me? Yeah, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Oh, wherever you go, I trust you.
And she's been doing so good coming to the beach with us. There's a couple beaches here where she gets scared of the dogs, and now she's starting to trust us.
I mean, like, so well, because I think she's also like, don't leave me again. Afro, we're not going to leave you again. We're going to take, if you go, we're going to take you.
Yeah, next year we'll take her with us.
And one thing about earlier I wanted to add about being in the here and now, that's why I was always loving things, like playing, because when you play, you're in the here and now, like, I was skateboarding, I was snowboarding. Because like when I go in the skate park, it's safe to be in the here and now. Like here, I'm there to ride my skateboard. Mm-hmm. So I can, and when I ride my skateboard, I must be in the here and now to like be balanced and everything. Mm-hmm. And there it's like safe to be in the here and now. But when I'm like in class, in the school, you know, it's not safe to be in the here and now. Mm-hmm. Like that's why I was so bad at school at first, because I was like, I didn't want this. And thus I got in a school, like it's called a Montessori school, for the like people with disabilities, and that we didn't have grades for some years, and we had like, we learned like cooking and playing as like subjects, and it was so nice for me. And then like after the army, when I wanted to be good in school, my physical mind, I was like the best student in school, because I am actually like, we're both really good in the system if we want to, but we like don't want to be good. And as kids, we like really subconsciously made sure to protect us. And for me, it was so much playing, like also the meetups. I was like focusing on ultimate frisbee, spike ball, like let's play, because you like joy in the present moment and it's safe.
Yeah. For me, I would always read like,
yeah,
I would be in school and do whatever I need to do and do it like my homework as fast as I could. Always get an A, but I would just be like, fuck this, I'll do whatever they say, but I'm gonna do it fast. And then I would just sit and read in class, and I would be in my own world, and I would be reading like philosophy and astrophysics and also any fiction I could get, because I wasn't allowed to have friends like really growing up, except for a couple church friends. But I didn't have a big community, so my community would be the people I would read in my books. And I remember to this day, sometimes I have to check to see, cause sometimes I would take the characters on as if they were really my friends, like in my imagination. And I would have to really think, wait, was that actually my friend or was that a character in a book? And it's just cute because my little kid mind was like, this is the safe world. Like when I would open the book, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Should we end it here?
Yeah.
This was really nice, baby. Mm-hmm. I love just us talking and...
This is what I always wanted.
Man. Yeah, now I'm here.
Thank you.
No, I'm not the Bashar boy. I need to wake everyone up. And then I get bored in my mind. I'm like, no, I want to talk about us and being vulnerable.
Wow, it's already over an hour.
Wow. All right. You have anything to share at the end? Go live your best life.
Yes. And if you haven't taken our course, take our course about how to live your best life.
It's like basically your book, but as video courses.
Yeah. And... I don't know. We're just vibing. We're planning to make a lot more podcasts in flow.
Yeah.
Right now, I want to go to the gym.
All right. Thanks for listening. Until next time. What's a good outro?
Peace.
Eat your chickpeas out. That's what I used to say.
So this video is going to be about the usage of psychedelics and self-harm, okay? So the thing is that many people often have their first spiritual experience when they are introduced to the idea of psychedelics. So they take a psychedelic, you know, like DMT, or they smoke weed or something else, and then they have this spiritual experience, and then they're so amazed that they want to take more of the psychedelic, more of the, well, let's put it simply, drug, okay? Now, I went to a spiritual school called the School of Pranic Healing, okay, Energy Healing School, and in the school, they actually don't recommend that people take psychedelics, and they don't recommend that people take drugs to get spiritual experiences. And very simply, the reason why is that, you know, your body has chakras, right? You have the crown chakra, the ajna, the throat chakra, the forehead chakra, the heart chakra, solar plexus chakra, and so on and so forth. So what happens is that when you take a drug, guys, like say DMT or weed or whatever it is, you're actually like taking a knife and cutting open the chakra. So when you cut open the chakra, you know, obviously a lot of psychic information, a lot of spiritual information is going to flow directly into the chakra, especially like the ajna chakra, which allows you to see, right? And the thing is that, okay, you have a spiritual experience, okay, you see the higher realms, and oftentimes it's very vivid, it's very amazing. But the issue is that when you take a knife and you cut your chakra, guys, your chakra remains permanently open, okay, permanently open. So the danger of this, if you don't seal the chakra back, if you don't seal the what we call the protective web covering the chakra, then you could become psychotic. Okay, that means that as you are going about your daily life, you'll be integrating information not only from our three dimensions of space and time, but also other higher dimensions like the astral realm and all that. And as a human being, or at least most human beings, we cannot differentiate the differences between these informations coming from different dimensions, okay? Because in a sense, our physical mind is only programmed to handle information coming from this 3D dimension. So it's kind of like a simple analogy would be, you have a very slow CPU, but you connect a very powerful graphics card to your CPU. So the graphics card is pumping out all this information, but the CPU, in a sense, can't process it, okay? Or maybe you could say it the other way. You have a very big CPU, very powerful CPU, but a very slow graphics card. So the CPU is trying to push all this information to the graphics card, but the graphics card can't process, right? And what happens to when the graphics card can't process? It overheats and it blows up, right? It gets damaged, okay? So instead of cutting open your chakras with drugs and psychedelics, which do work for one time or two times, you know, and as Bashar says, you can take DMT, figure out what that frequency is, and then next time, tune into that frequency yourself, you know, tune into that frequency using your own mind rather than relying on the plant, relying on the psychedelic, right? The real way to spiritual enlightenment, while maintaining full control of your faculties and not becoming psychotic, okay, is through meditation, is through breath work, is through energy healing, because when you project prana, energy with your hands, you actually open and widen your spiritual cord, so more psychic energy, more divine energy can flow down into your chakras, okay, what we call electromagnetic energy. And also, of course, very important, service to others. So as you go about your daily life, when you feel excited about helping someone, you don't have to ask for money. If they want to pay you, they can pay you. But if you're excited about helping someone, just help. And the act of helping, whether or not it's a physical act, whether or not it's giving them money, whether or not it is using energy healing techniques on them, all of this widens your spiritual cord and connection to source, because you're also widening your connection to others. And as you know, everyone is source, all of us are connected to source. So as you help other people, as you merge with other people, you be with other people, you're more and more, in a sense, connected with yourself, with source, okay? So another reason why we don't recommend taking psychedelics, because when someone becomes psychotic, there are either two ways it can go. One way is the milder way, which is that you can become very phased out because you perceive multiple dimensions at one time and you're just like, you know, like in a bliss state, phased out all the time. That's okay. The other state, which is actually more dangerous, is a violent state where someone is psychotic. They cannot differentiate between the hallucinations and they become violent and they could kill someone, could harm other people. All right, so this is why we teach you through the spiritual path to perform meditations, to do breath work, you know, to do energy healing, service to others. And all this is about opening and closing your chakras with intention, with the willpower of the mind. And so you can open when you need the psychic information, and you can close it when you don't need the psychic information. So open and close, like breathing, right? Not breathing in, and then you don't breathe out, okay? That's also another problem, right? Now, in terms of the Sasani, you know, like how Bashar experiences it, Bashar's experience is that everything, everywhere, all at once. But you need to understand that Bashar's society has lived like this for thousands of years, right? After their Shakana experience where they all became telepathically linked and open to all the various dimensions. Understand that they have had thousands of years to adapt to that state, and as Bashar says, they know how to differentiate, they know how to discriminate between the information coming from various realms, okay? So if you're very new to all this, it's very likely as a human being in this incarnation that you cannot discriminate, you cannot differentiate. And so it's very, very, in a sense, harmful, self-harm, to open yourself up so fast, right? Because like taking a knife and cutting yourself, and yeah, a lot of blood is flowing out, and you have a lot of these energy coming out and spiritual experiences and all that, but really it's self-harm, okay, guys? So always remember, if you're very, very interested in the spiritual path, it is not recommended to be taking psychedelics more than once or twice, okay? Maybe, perhaps, just to give you a taste. And instead, you should focus on meditation, breath work, service to others, and energy healing, alright? So that's all for this video. In our next video, we may go into the experiences that everyone is having regarding ET contact. And I also may talk about the overcoming rejection of self and overcoming the rejection of your circumstances in a subsequent video when I feel excited about it. Alright, thank you everyone for watching, and bye-bye!